Yeah, so the kids are actually wanting to speak on a few things outside. This chelek of Tanya, in some ways, does not automatically depend on everything that came before, although you obviously understand it better if you connect it. These are Perek Lamed Hay through Mem. So let me give you a little overview so you have a sense of the forest before we get into the trees. Lamed Hay through Mem speaks about the tachlis of Briyas HaOlam. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? And how mitzvahs become a realization of that tachlis. And the division of those six prakim is actually a very neat division. Lamed Hay, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin is the accomplishment of the Maisa HaMitzvah, the action. Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, and Mem talks about the kavana that you bring to the action. In other words, the Alter Rebbe makes the point that the Maisa HaMitzvah itself, even if you don't have Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, but you're just doing it to serve Hashem, I'm doing a mitzvah, has a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. In fact, the phrase that the last Lubavitcher Rebbe used to use all the time is taken from the Tanya, HaMaisa Hu HaIkar. The Rebbe said it over and over and over, HaMaisa Hu HaIkar. And yet, the Baal Tanya will then go into the importance of Kavana, quoting a passage of the Zohar, that Ava and Yira are the Trei Gadfin. They are the two wings that elevate your mitzvahs. Otherwise, your mitzvahs kind of remain on earth, and they're not piled that much in Shemayim. Now, in particular, we're not going to get to the Kavana Prakim today, but in particular, the Kavana Prakim is part of why the Nefesh HaChaim went in the other direction, because the Baal HaTanya kind of takes the... Even though he says, HaMaisa Hu HaIkar, he more or less says that mitzvahs done without kavana don't go anywhere. But he has a chiddush: if you later do tshuva and have kavana, lemafreya your mitzvah. So he learns mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma, right? The famous statement that even if you learn Torah, Chazal statement, even if I learn Torah shelo lishma, it's still a good thing because from the shelo lishma becomes lishma. So he has a totally different interpretation. He says when you later learn Torah lishma, lemafreya your mitzvahs go up. But if you never reach the Madrega of Lishma, then like everything just remains. That is the, in particular where the Nefesh HaChaim is Chaylik. And we'll talk about that more b'Arichas. But B'Kitzer, therefore, Perek Lamed Hay, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin is the importance of the Maisa. Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, and Mem are the importance of the Kavana. But what's interesting is that the Baal HaTanya does say, and this would be similar to the Nefesh HaChaim, that even though a maisa without kavana does mean something, because potentially it can be elevated, kavana without maisa doesn't mean anything. Meaning, the ikar is not the kavana. The ikar is to do the maisa mitzvah with kavana. If you simply have all the kavanas in the world, and you're not doing the maisa ha-mitzvah kehilchasa, then you haven't accomplished anything. And that's exactly what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in the Nefesh HaChaim, that even if a person has all sorts of dveikus b'Hashem, if he's not keeping the halacha, it's not going to count. The Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, says the very, very same thing. Yeah.
I mean, the one exception is if you have kavana, but you're not able to do the mitzvah, so like machshavah.
Right, that's a machshavah taiva. That's when you're right. That's when an einus prevents you from doing a mitzvah and the like. Okay, so we'll look at that now. B'Kitzer, the Alter Rebbe basically says the following: the tachlis of the world and the tachlis of the Briyas HaAdam is not for his neshama, his godly soul. Is already holy. It's already perfect. Elokai neshama shemsati b'tahay rehi. My neshama does not need any yerida in Eilam Hazeh. My neshama is shalem. There's no ra in my neshama. My neshama elokis is chelek eloika mimal. Elamai, how do you get Eilam Hazeh? We go through the or of the Ein Sof, right? The Hashem is the Ein Sof. The or of the Ein Sof is the radiance of the Ein Sof. It goes through many tzimtzumim, many contractions, many concealments, many divisions. It goes through many, many levels, starting from Atzilus, the world of emanation. And then it gets progressively more concealed in the world of Bria, and then the world of Yetzira, and then finally in this tangible world of Asiya. So this world, by definition, is the lowest of all worlds. This is the most physical. And physicality is a blockage of the light of the Ein Sof. Now, the light of the Ein Sof is ever present, but it's blocked. We don't perceive it. And not only that, that is why there's a sense of ego, because we're so rachik from the revelation of the Ein Sof that human beings think they can exist without God. Ani v'apsio, the ultimate egotism in which I don't even need, a person might say, God forbid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. There is no God, etc. So this world is a world of Hester. Now again, the Alter Rebbe Shita of Tzimtzum is that the full light of God is in this world, but it is concealed. It is masqueraded. It is hidden in the Olam HaGashmi and in the egotism that accompanies the Olam HaGashmi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deepest taiva, and we don't know why this is so, this is the irreducible Ratzayin of Hashem that's not scrutable, is he bedafka wants to be Megala himself from the Choshech, from the darkness, that from the greatest aspect of concealment, Hashem wants there to be what is called a Dira, a dwelling place, B'tachtonim. And by a Dira, we don't simply mean Hashem literally inhabits, because of course Hashem literally inhabits. But Dira means a hiskalus of the Or Ein Sof. And therefore, the Neshama was put into this world to confront the powers of darkness that in some sense will never be changed. That's the animal soul that indeed will never be changed, unless you're a tzaddik. But out of that struggle of the moach, the mind, being sholet al halev, you bring nahayra mechashocha, right? You bring, again, this is a phrase in the Zohar, you bring light out of darkness, you bring miska mimerira, right? That means sweetness out of bitterness. And therefore, it's not that the neshama needs it. Again, it's very hard to understand exactly. It's somehow, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon that he wants us to be megala his or in a matzav of chayshech and hester panim. And therefore, the purpose of the neshama in this earth is not to be mesakim the neshama, but is to be mekayim the ratzon Hashem, to make him a dira v'tachtenim by revealing his light. Revealing, not creating his light, revealing his light bedafka in the darkest places. Now, in truth, the Alter Rebbe says, we don't even know, well, what the reason for that is, actually. But that is the Ritzayin HaShomakim, that bedafka mitay chester. Right, they tell an old story, actually it's an old Hasidic story, but it's a mashal, about, you know, the game that kids play, hide and go seek. That a boy was once crying, and his teacher asked him, why are you crying? He says, well, we're supposed to be playing hide-and-go-seek, and I'm hiding. So why are you crying? He says, nobody's looking for me. So he says, this is the cry of the Shekhinah Begalusa, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding, as it were. But Hashem wants us to find him. Hashem wants us to bring him out. And nobody's looking. So chaval, that's the greatest sadness, that's the greatest tragedy of the Golus. Right, so this is the goal of human existence, the goal particularly of Am Yisrael and of every Yochid in Am Yisrael. And this is the goal of the Beinoni. The goal of the Tzaddik might be a little different. But the goal of the Beinoni, by struggling with the darkness within his own personality, the Beinoni brings the light of Hashem into the darkness. Now remember the mashal that the Alter Rebbe brought from the Yanuka, from the wonder child, right? The passage in the Zohar, in which it says in the Pasuk, in Keheles, HaChacham Einav Bereshe. The Chacham has his eyes in his head. So the Zohar asks, the Yanuka asks, everyone has their eyes in their head. What is the Chacham? So the answer is, the Shekhinah is above your head like a flame. And the Chacham is always looking at that flame to add fuel, right? He's like a wick. And the Torah and Maisim Tovim are the Shemen that allows the wick to burn. So that's exactly our situation. We have to generate the light. Now, the light means the hiskalus, the revelation, taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Hester. And therefore, our Torah and our Maisim Tovim become the fuel. Shemen, al-Reishcha, al-Yechzar, is the fuel. And the same way that when you have fuel, the wick gets consumed, so too that means our physicality gets diminished, so to speak. right? We're kind of burning it up because we're more connected to the light of the Shekhinah. And HaChacham Einav Bereishai means the Chacham is always conscious of the light of Hashem that at least potentially could be shining on his head. Right, so this is the purpose. Now, how do mitzvahs maisius accomplish that? So he basically says the idea that the mitzvahs maisius represents the ratzon of Hashem. So when you do a mitzvah maisius, and kal v'chomer Talmud Torah, what you're doing is you are mechaber to the ratzon of Hashem. You're connecting yourself. You're taking your kochos, your machshava, your dibor, your maisa, and you are, so to speak, expressing them by connecting to the ratzon Hashem. And since Hashem's ratzon and Hashem's mitzius is one and the same, because God is indivisible, so instead of saying there's God and there's God has a desire, like I could say, there's me and I have a ratzon. You could theoretically talk about my ratzon apart from me. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, this is even the Rambam says this, this is a standard philosophical point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Achdus HaPoshut. Achdus HaPoshut means an indivisible simplicity. And therefore, when you're miyached to Hashem's ratzon, you are miyached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias. That's Yisrael va'oraisa v'kudsha b'richu. Chadu. And therefore, you're mistabik to Hashem. Now, the thing is this. In Eilam Hazeh, the Siba of Hashem's concealment is the progressive materialism of the world. But when you use materialism to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you use Ruchnius to be Makadosh the Gashmius itself becomes elevated. Whether it's your animal soul, again, whether it's your physical body, for example, he gives an example of Tzedakah. By tzedakah, number one, I spend time working and earning money. I was involved in gashmius, but now I'm using it for ruchnius. So all of those hours of work now become part of my kedusha. If I do mitzvahs maisius, the food and the drink and the sleep that I had that gave me the koyach to do these things. So therefore what happens is, by sanctifying the gashmius is no longer a mechitza that blocks the Or Hashem. So the Or Hashem can become Niskala in the world. Now we don't know exactly what form that takes. He suggests, you may not perceive it right away, it's kind of building a bank account towards the Geula. He says, the Geula Hasida, Yemosa Mashiach, will be the time at which the light of Hashem will be Niskala. But that light depends on the Torah and the Maisim Tovim that we do. So every time we're doing the mitzvahs maisius. We'll talk later about the special realm of kavana. That's a separate chelak, as I said before. What you're doing is you're creating a greater potential for the hiskalus of the Ein Sof, and that is ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest ratzon, nisave li yislai dira b'tachtayim. Right. This is the getter of what mitzvahs are. They bring godliness into the world by sanctifying physicality. And that includes physical objects like, leather, tefillin, etc. That includes physical desires like eating, drinking, sleeping, even the animal soul. The Baal HaTanya says, although the animal soul is not changed per se, but the animal soul is hijacked and used. And as the Baal HaTanya paraphrases the Gemara, Bal Korchach Eina Amen. Even against its will, it kind of has to say Amen in this whole element of Kedusha. And this is ultimately the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a dira b'tachtenim, and this is what mitzvahs do. They're maila, they're mechaber me to the essence of Hashem, they're maila the gashmias, and when they're maila the gashmias is no longer a mechitza, that's meineya, it's no longer a separation, because it's been spiritualized, it's no longer a separation that blocks the Or Hashem. It's interesting. I can't say he disagrees with it. On the other hand, I can say that he doesn't mention it. Meaning, the way Chabad likes to say it, again, I'm not sure if we like to talk it that way, the way I like to say it is that mitzvahs are taka not for you, mitzvahs are for the Ribbono Shel Olam, because it's the Ratzon in Hashem that he wants to be niskala b'tachtenu. Again, it's hard for us to say.
Yeah, it's not ultimately for you.
Huh?
I mean, ultimately, you're being megala. You're being megala shchina.
They're not necessarily exclusive.
They're not exclusive. Because obviously you could, but it's not a stira, so I wouldn't say there's necessarily a machlekes. But the concept is, instead of, in other words, the traditional view is a little self-centered, Chabad says. In other words, I'm gonna do this because I wanna have a good thing. Now the Alter Rebbe, who Bechlau emphasizes over and over again in Tanya, Bitol Hayesh, not focusing on yourself, basically Lil says you have to look at your mitzvahs in a more cosmic way. Now the emphasis of Rav Chaim Volozhin also says that you have to look at it in terms of bringing the Shekhinah into the world. Remember, in the Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Beis, when he talks about the role of tefillah, he actually says beferish. Now some say that he didn't mean it for our Madrega. He says, you're not davening for yourself at all. You're davening just to give a nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wants to be mashpia in the world. So even when you ask Hashem for things like health, parnasa, you're not thinking about yourself. You're saying, I want you, Hashem, to have the nachas and the joy of being mashpia, your tov, on the world. He says, the true Baal Tefila is not even thinking about a single thing for himself or for other people. It's all for the Kavod HaShechina. In some ways, the Baal HaTanya is saying exactly the same point, that this is the union of Dira B'Tachtainim, and the Dira B'Tachtainim is accomplished, again, he's a little more specific, it's not simply by doing Hashem's Ratzon, but doing Hashem's Ratzon is the Emtsoi that you're Mechaber to his Mitzias, because his Ratzon is one. And since mitzvahs involve the Gashmias of the world, the Gashmias becomes Nisala. And if the Gashmias becomes Nisala, it's no longer a machitza that separates the Or Ein Sof from the world. So he's making it a little more intricate. And that's why he makes the point, and again, Rav Chaim might disagree with this, that as great as Talmud Torah is, there are things that mitzvahs maisias are payel, that Talmud Torah cannot be payel, because the Torah primarily involves the kochos of machshava and dibor. But mitzvahs maisias, tefillin, tzitzis, actually involve physical actions of the whole body. And therefore he says that those are the lower levels of the animal soul, and therefore only the mitzvahs maisias can raise those lower levels, because in Talmud Torah, those lower levels are not directly involved. Right? That's, again, that also may be a point that Rav Chaim Volozhiner will take a little bit of an issue with. Okay.
So if we want praise for someone to be healed, they're praying to Hashem, instead of saying Hashem just healed them, the higher level, tell me if I'm wrong, the higher level would be, Hashem, you're the Melech, I want you to use your forces to come into the world to heal someone. You want to have a different type of cause.
Right. This is what Rav Chaim says. Now again, many say that that's not a Madrega for us, but this is what he says. He says that every single Bakosha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately, so he should have nachas, and his kavod should be nisrabe in the world, and even if that's taking the form of refuah, geula, parnasa, it's all the chavod shemayim. Yeah.
Isn't that machma in praying for another person's health? If you're praying for a specific person's health, you're saying that divine light through that person should be expressed. Like,
yes.
Further on, and they have more ability to do that if they're healed.
Right. But it's a very different motivation. It's not saying, please Hashem, I need this so much. Right? Wow. You're not doing that. You're saying, please Hashem, I want your kavod to be niskala in the world in all of the different ways. Yeah.
So, I'm just like on the point I said before. I saw an addition in the Baruch HaShem. Actually, the way it's worded, it seems to kind of support the idea that, you know, we're here to, you know, not with the whole Nama Yisufa kind of idea, right? But you can understand it both ways. I was saying how whatever it is that we have to go through, it wasn't like praying for anything specific, whatever it is that we have to go through in order that our Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama should go through its tikkun and not have to return, let it happen.
Right.
At first glance, kind of sounds like the, that, you know, kind of more egocentric, but at the same time, like, you know, if that happens, then that whole Dira B'Tachtonim situation can actualize itself.
Yeah, yeah. So the Dira B'Tachtonim in Mela means, you know, you're mevatel yourself to Hashem's Ratzon. There's a Gamzu L'Tova. In other words, the whole idea is that Vakert. Sometimes the darker your situation, the more light you can bring out of it. Because, you know, they say a story, it's a bit of a sad story. There was a Yid who came to the Berditcheber, who was, of course, the Alter Rebbe's older chaver. And the Berditcheber was always Melitz Yosher. He always looked for Zechuyas, for Am Yisrael, etc. And this person was a tzaddik. This person was a righteous person. And the person said to the Berditcheber before Rosh Hashanah, you know, Rebbe, I have such a hard life. And I can't do mitzvahs, I can't learn, I can't give tzedakah, I can't daven with kavana. He says, you know, Rebbe, you know me. I'm not asking for a Yeshua because I want to be comfortable. I just want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can you be mispalel that I should have the Yisha Padas and the resources to learn and to daven and to give tzedakah? That's all I want in life. So the Berditcheber said to him, he said, you know, I know you and I know this is your kavana, and that is a worthy request to be marbe kavod shemayim. I'll be mispalel for you. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur came and passed. The year was going and nothing improved. So he went to the Berditcheber and he said, how come my tefillahs were not answered? Your tefillahs were not answered. What happened? And the Berditcheber gave him a very sad look. And the Berditcheber said, I'm sorry. The Ribbono Shel Olam gets more nachas from what you're doing in this month. So, you know, we have a certain vision. I would serve Hashem perfectly if I had a certain type of matzav. But sometimes, vakert, it's the incomplete matzav. It's the matzav where I can't really concentrate that much. It's the matzav where I'm not able to learn that much, but I'm trying that maybe more chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the guy that has all the yishuv hadas and all the money that he needs and is able to do a lot of mitzvahs. That's a wonderful thing also. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has calculations. And if the idea is to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light out of the greatest concealment, then sometimes bedafka, the tzaddikim will have a very, very hard life. And, you know, they could have learned more had there been more, you know, more comfortable life. But fakir, this is their bringing the darkness, the light out of the darkness. Right, so this is the union. So I just wanted to share with you just three machshavas, really, outside of the Tanya, that bear on this idea of elevating and sanctifying the Gashmias. The first is from the Balatanya's great-great-grandfather, the Maral of Prague. And the Maral of Prague goes on the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, where Dorosh Ahigolilah, a certain man from Golo, made a drasha that everything about Matan Torah is connected with three. Baruch Rachamana, blessed is Hashem, Diyoyevlan Ayraisa Talisa, he gave us a threefold Torah, Torah Neviim Kesuvim, Biyarcha Talisa, in the third month, Nisan Iyar Sivan, after 3 days of preparation, right, 3 days of Hagbala, to an Am Talisa, to a threefold nation, Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. Now the Gemara doesn't say anything about this. The observation seems to be that Matan Torah is Makushar to the number three. Just like so many stuff about Pesach is Makushar to four, the four sons, the four questions, four Kaisas of Yayin, right? So Matan Torah is connected to three. What's the Shaychus of three? So the Maral says an interesting idea. The Maral says, and again, this is Mamish, it fits the Balatanya's Yisayit very, very nicely, that three is the idea of synthesis between things that are opposite. Imagine a triangle. So at the base of the triangle, you have two points that are moving in opposite directions, but the two points draw a line from the two points, and they meet at the top. They meet at the apex. So three, you find this in Kabbalah all the time, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes. Tiferes is the combination of Chesed and Gevurah. In fact, it's represented as a triangle. So the concept is the Torah is a chibur between things that would otherwise be opposites. There is Ruchnius, the she'ifa for godliness, Elokus. And then we have an animal soul and an animal passion where we eat and drink and we live in a world of Hester Panim because there is so much material, right? In other words, the only way you have a material world is only because God concealed His divine light progressively greater and greater and greater till you have this Olam HaGashmi. And without a Torah, there would be no way, so to speak, we would live in a perpetual stira between godliness and materialism, and there would be no way to bridge that gap. But the Torah is connected to the number three, because the Torah says there's a way of being machaber, the gashmias and the ruchnias, in which even the gashmias becomes nisalev and niskadesh by utilizing it in mitzvahs maisias and in my physical strength as well, by utilizing my eating, my drinking, and my sleeping, and my earning to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In effect, I've made even my gashmias and merkava a foundation, a chariot for the Shekhinah. And that's why the Torah is three, because it successfully takes the stira of Ruchnias and Gashmias, and it is mechaber them. So unlike other religions, let's say Catholicism, that says in order to be holy, you have to be celibate, you can't have a connection with the wife, etc. We say fakert, all of those things that on some level you could look at as taiva and gashmias, they can all be used in avodas Hashem. This is what the Maral says, that Matan Torah is connected to the notion of three. Now, by the same token, Reb Tzadok says by Matan Torah a very similar idea, but he has it from a very surprising, interesting place, that before Matan Torah, the Torah mentions that the people saw the kolos ubrakim. First of all, the Medrash itself comments they saw the thunder. Okay, that's Chiddush. But it mentions kolos ubrakim. So kolos are thunder, and brakim are flashes of lightning. Barak. Now then, it says after Matan Torah, it continues with the sound and light show, but instead of saying kolos ubrakim, it says kolos velapidim. Torches, or kolos, or thunder, and lapidim are torches. So none of the Mefarshim are aimed on the idea why before Matan Torah was the light described as barak, and after Matan Torah the light is described as lapid. Now, of course, if one wanted to be a bit jocular, you could say this is a nevuah regarding the political situation in Israel. We had Barak a while ago, and now we have Lapid coming up. We had both his father and now Yair Lapid, you know, who might, God forbid, might be a credible, a possible candidate for prime minister. So you have the Barak and you have the Lapid. But what's the pshat? How do you learn generally? So Rav Tzadok says a very beautiful thing. He says, even before Matan Torah, people had a she'ifa for Kedusha. Right? Yeah, your godly soul, you want to be mistabik b'Hashem. But by definition, you live in a physical world. And by definition, you have physical desires. And without a Torah, you have no way of bridging those two parts of your identity. In other words, the only way you could be spiritual is by separating yourself from Gashmias. But separation from Gashmias, by definition, can only be a temporary phenomenon. You could sit and fast. You can live in poverty. You could be on top of a flagpole for 50 days and meditate. But eventually, you have to eat. Eventually, you have to sleep. You have to go to the bathroom. So, Reb Tzadok says, that musik of Kedusha is like a flash of lightning. Because what is lightning? It's brilliant light. But then you're plunged into total darkness. Light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. Because the person who lives without the hadracha of the Torah only has a spiritual way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by definition, that's going to be temporary, and that's going to be ever-changing, and that will be light, darkness, like a schizophrenic existence. What the Torah introduced to Klal Yisrael was a wondrous thing, that even within this Dira V'Tachtainim, even within this physical, Gashmiistic world, there can be Kedusha in everything. When you're eating a piece of cake, but you say Borei Minei Mezaynus, and you have Machshava to be Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even Kabbalistically, that whatever I get from the cake should help me in Avodas Hashem. So that, he says, is like a torch. Now, it's interesting. A torch is not as bright as lightning. Lightning is flashier. So Ein Achinami, when you're involved in Olam Hazeh, the intensity of your Kedusha is not going to be always as great. Because you're confronting a huge, huge wall of Hester Panim. But the difference is, unlike lightning, which is all or nothing, the torch continues to flicker. It doesn't go out. It flickers. So, you know, I think about before they... when we used to go to Tzfat, I think the roads are better now, so there were these winding roads before they built a more of a straight road. So you're going to Tzfat, you're going uphill, you're going winding around. And there were times that JLE, other groups, we went, and it was the middle of the night, and it was raining, and, you know, there was no guardrails, really. It was mamish, you know. It's like the old story about the Rosh Hashiva and the Eged bus driver who died the same day, and they both went to Olam Haba. So they took in the Eged bus driver right away. The Roshiva had to wait, he had to take a fahair or whatever, but the Eged bus driver goes in right away. So the Roshiva complained. He said, you know, listen, my whole life I've been, again, this would never happen in real life, but my whole life I learned, I served Hashem. He says, this guy's barely thrilled, like, why does he get ahead of me? So the answer was, how many Tehillim did you cause people to say in your life? I mean, the Eged bus driver. he has more zechuyas. You know, so the pshat is like this, you know, so really it was extremely, you know, you really felt very dangerous. The bus is going around here, there are no guardrails, it's raining, it's dark. Now imagine if it superimposed on that, the bus driver didn't have headlights. He was just navigating by the lightning that was, that'd be pretty dangerous. If he had like a torch or even a light that, even if it's a weak light, that's at least you can navigate a little bit. You know, you're not going into total darkness. So Rav Tzadok says that living in the Olam HaGashmi in some ways is tragic. The neshama doesn't want to be here, Taka. Neshama doesn't want to be in a place of Hester Panim. It's like it's been exiled to Siberia, exiled to Antarctica. I mean, you know, multiply that by an infinite sense of richuk. And yet, the neshama has a job. Dira v'tachtayim. And the Meiler Rav Tzadok says, he doesn't quote the Balatani, he doesn't use the Lashon Dira v'tachtayim, I'm just combining them, that the concept is that Matan Torah converted the lightning, which is all light or all dark, into a kind of consistent nir, which again fits the Anuka's idea of the Ner Al Harosh, which is the Shekhinah, that is Midlaf. Al Reishai, that is fed by the Shemen of the Torah Maisim Taivim, and your animal soul becomes the Psila, that hopefully gets subdued, so to speak, as you feed it with the right oil and the right fuel. Now the final Ha'ara is actually from another work of the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch Harav. And this is a vort from the Lubavitcher Rebbe being Masbir, something in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. And halachically, it's actually very, very fascinating. The Alter Rebbe discusses the halachas of Tachanun. Now, we know our minog is that we never recite Tachanun on an Isrucha. Of course, minhag make it much bigger. I mean, some people, for example, Isrucha is the day after a Yom Tov. So the day after Sukkot. I mean, l'maisa, the minhag here is we don't recite it the rest of Tishrei, but mi'ikra din, Isru Chag of Sukkot, Isru Chag of Pesach, although once again that's in the month of Nisan. But the Alter Rebbe says the only Isru Chag that really is putter from Tachanun is Isru Chag Shavuos. There are minhagim that pati you the other days, but it's only Isru Chag of Shavuos that is putter mitachanun, and the reason is because the Isru Chag of Shavuos is the Yom Tavoach. So here I need to explain this a little bit for those who did not learn the Sukkot and Chagiga. We know that on Yom Tov, every Jew, or at least every male Jew, not every, but unless there were people who were Patra, had to come to Yerushalayim, the Shalosh Regalim, and they had to bring an Olas Re'iyah. They had to bring a burnt offering. They had to physically come into the Azara, and they would bring a burnt offering. This is called an Olas Re'iyah. Now, if you didn't bring it the first day, you could bring it for the next 6 days. You know, you have 7 days to bring it, except you don't bring it on Shabbos. Now, So for Pesach, you had 7 days. For Sukkot, you actually have 8 days. You can bring it on Shemini Atzeres. Now Shavuos is only a 1 day Yom Tov. But the Gemara says that since you're Makish, you compare all the regalim together, so just like Pesach has 7 days, Shavuos also has 7 days. The Gemara asks, why are you Makish Shavuos to Pesach? Be Makish it to Sukkot and give you 8 days? The Gemara's answer is, Tafasta Meruba lo Tafasta. In other words, if you're not sure if you have 7 days or 8 days, so you know for sure you have 7 days, you don't know for sure you have 8 days, so you gotta go with the smaller number. Now, it mentions like this, that the Jews did not want to bring their Olas Ri on the first day of Shavuos, well, on the day of Shavuos. So everybody commonly wanted to bring it as early as they could, but not on the Yom Tov. So they brought it the day after Yom Tov. That's called Yom Tovach. Yom Tovach means the day that the Olas Re'iyah was shechted. Meaning, normally people would bring it the earliest possible day, but they didn't want to bring it on Yom Tov, so the earliest possible day is Isru Chag. So Isru Chag of Pesach, that's not relevant because you couldn't bring it Isru Chag of Pesach because you had to bring it in 7 days. Right? So the only Isru Chag, says the Baal HaTanya, that was a day that they brought their korbanos was the Isru Chag of Shavuos, and that's why it has the status of a Yom Tov. You understand this? Because the Isru Chag of Pesach is too late, and the Isru Chag after Shemini Atzeres is too late. But the Isru Chag of Shavuos was the day that everybody brought their korbanos. They actually have 7 days to do it, but they would bring it the first possible opportunity, which was Isru Chag. So Frek de Baal HaTanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav the following problem. Why did they wait till the day after Shavuos? Why didn't they bring it on Yom Tov itself? I mean, if you're telling me they want to bring their Korban on the first opportunity is not Isru Chag, the first opportunity is Yom Tov. So, in reality, there actually is a Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in Maseches Be'ah. Can you bring an Olas Re'iyah on Yom Tov? Beis Shammai says you cannot bring an Olas Re'iyah on Yom Tov because the Torah permits Malacha on Yom Tov only for human food preparation and not an Ola that is totally burnt to Hashem. So like Beis Shammai, the first time you could bring an Olas Re'iyah is Isru Chag Shavuos. That's true. But Beis Hillel says absolutely not. Beis Hillel says you could bring an Olas Re'iyah even on Yom Tov. And since it's a Dover Pashut, in a Machlokes Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, the Halacha is like Beis Hillel, then you can bring an Olas Re'iyah on Yom Tov. So why would Isru Chag be called the day that everybody brought their korbanos? That's only true according to Beis Shammai. It's not true according to Beis Hillel. So says the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch. Even though the halacha is like Beis Hillel, Nagu Ha'am, the minag of Klal Yisrael in this halacha was to follow Beit Shammai and not bring the Olas Re'iyah on Yom Tov. It was brought on Isru Chag, or in the case of Pesach Chol HaMoed, but in the case of Shavuos, Isru Chag. And that is why, says the Alter Rebbe, Isru Chag of Shavuos has a special chashivas, because Nagu Ha'am Kedivre Beit Shammai. So the problem is, why? Why would that be so? I mean, we find in a number of places in Shas that it's actually improper for a person to follow the halacha of Beit Shammai. Do you remember the Mishnah in Brachos, right? Beit Shammai says that the Kriya Shema of night, since the Torah says b'shachbucha, when you lie down, uvekumecha, when you get up, so the Kriya Shema of night you have to recite lying down, and the Kriya Shema of the morning you have to recite when you stand up. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin b'shachbucha kumecha is only referring to time. So Rabbi Tarfon says, I wanted to be machmer like Beis Shammai, and I recited the Kriya Shema of Marav lying down, and I almost got killed by bandits, because I was vulnerable. They were able to attack me. Well, he thought he would get a little rachamim. The chachamim are kind of tough, and they say, ah, you're chayav misa, you're Abraham Beis Hillel. Even though he was just being machmir. So why would people follow Beis Shammai? If Beis Hillel says you could bring the Eilas Re'iyah on Shavuos, on Yom Tov, why would people bring the Olas Re'iyah on Yisrochat? So Lubavitcher Rebbe gives a beautiful hesber. He says the following. When the Baal HaTanya writes that they followed the minhag of Beis Shammai not to bring an Olas Re'iyah on Yom Tov, he doesn't mean they followed that for every Yom Tov. When it came to Pesach, maybe they brought it the first day of Pesach. When it came to Sukkot, maybe they brought it the first day of Sukkot. Those who couldn't had 7 days, but maybe most people brought it the first day. It's only on Shavuos that they followed the minhag of Beis Shammai not to bring the Olas Re'iyah on the first day of Shavuos. I kept saying first day, on the day of Shavuos. Why would that be so? So here's what Lubavitcher Rebbe says, and it fits the Maharal, and it fits Reb Tzadok. That is, if the chiddush of the Torah is that there's no dichotomy between the physical and the spiritual, and that even the physical can be elevated and consecrated and made a vehicle for godliness. See, that's the chiluk between a burnt offering, it's relevant to the parsha, an ola and a shlamin. An ola is something that is totally given over to Hashem. So the ola represents a pure spirituality in which your animal soul is totally disengaged because you get no pleasure from it. A shlamin is a korban in which part of it is given to Hashem on the altar, and part of it you eat, and part of it is given to the Kohanim. So Shlamim represents the idea of taking my animal soul and elevating it by serving Hashem, as opposed to the Ola, which is the holiness of renunciation, asceticism, and separation. So the minhag was that even though Alpi Halacha, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that an Olas Re'iyah can certainly be brought on Yom Tov, but on the day of Shavuos, we want to emphasize the avaida of elevating the Gashmias instead of rejecting the Gashmias. You see, the Ayla represents serving Hashem by renunciation. The Shlamim represents serving Hashem by elevating my animal desires. And that is why somehow Klal Yisrael intuited that Shavuos should be the day not of renunciation, but the day of sanctification of the Gashmias itself. Again, that's indeed what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, what at first glance is a very difficult thing to understand. We have a Machlekes Tanoim. What is the best way to celebrate Yom Tov? Because one pasuk says Yom Tov is for Hashem, which would mean davening, learning. And the other says, Yom Tov is for you, eating, drinking, rejoicing. So one pasuk says, Lachem. One pasuk says, Lashem. How do you understand it? Machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, you have a choice. You can either go Lagamri Lashem. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't have to have a meal on Yom Tov. You can learn and daven. Or you can make Yom Tov Lagamri for you. Now I assume he means you have to say Kriya Shema, but you could spend most of the day rejoicing. All this or all that. Rabbi Yehoshua says no. Rabbi Yehoshua says, as we paskin, Chatzi. No, Chatzi doesn't mean half and half, but you're mechuyev to devote part of Yom Tov to Gashmias and part of Yom Tov to Ruchnias. Now, then the Gemara says like this. This is a machlokas by Pesach and by Sukkot. But when it comes to Shavuos, everybody's maida, even Rabbi Eliezer, who gives you the option of kulo lashem, is moda to Rabbi Yehoshua that you have to have a meal. You have to eat a meal on Shavuos because that is the day that we got the Torah. Now, when you first read that Gemara, the Gemara itself seems to be a non sequitur. In other words, I might have expected another, the opposite. I might have said, even Rabbi Yoshua that says you have to have a meal is Maidan Shavuos, you can learn all the whole day if you want, because that's the day we got the Torah. And yet, the Gemara says the other way around. Bidafka, on the day we got the Torah, you're mechuyev to have a physical meal, because Matan Torah is about being Makadish the Gashmias. Right, so these thoughts, the Maral and the Alter Rebbe and the Shulchan Aruch and Reb Sadek, all tie into what the Balatanya is writing, that when we use the physical world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the physical world itself becomes elevated. That includes our animal passions, our animal desires, and then it no longer becomes a blockage to the light of Hashem being the Skala in the world. And therefore, we are contributing to making a Dira B'Tachtainim, and the Maila of Mitzvahs Maisius is we use the most physical part of ourselves and the world, and therefore that's something that's even the Maila from the Kayach of Torah, because Torah does not necessarily use every physical last part of my being. And this is going to be true, the Alter Rebbe says, even if we don't have very high elevated Kavanas, but we're going to see how Kavanah is going to be even greater. Yeah.
Is it possible that this is from that field up in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
That many rabbis have spoken about sukkahs. You have the Rule of Muslim sukkahs, and in Pesach we have matzah. And what we have on Shavuos is only Torah. And if you have an Oilas Riya, you're getting away from the totality of the holiday representing Torah, according to all these rabbis who give the drush. It's only Torah, but all of a sudden you're putting in the korban. So,
I'm not sure that's going to work, because Lamaisa, we bring the shlamim. Remember, a person brings the Oilas Riya and a shalmi chagiga. So, we did bring the shlamim. It's only the ola we didn't bring. And of course, we brought to meet him a musafin also. I mean, we did bring plenty of korbanos on Shavuos. Right, so this is Bekitzer kind of idea. So next week we'll be Mamshech with this. Again, but as they say, it's a nice six parak unit, and especially the role of Kavana is very, very interesting. And it's hard to know how literal the Alter Rebbe means things, because, I mean, he seems to say, as they say, if you do mitzvahs without Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, they really don't go anywhere at all. That's the mashmaos. The only thing is, they don't disappear. They're kind of remaining. What do they say? They say, Maitre to Baal Shem Tov, that he once came to a kehillah, and he said, so many mitzvahs in this community. Wonderful. Well, he didn't say wonderful. So they thought he was praising them. He says, so many mitzvahs here. He meant to say that because all of these mitzvahs were not done with kavanah, they're kind of all on the floor. they didn't go anywhere. It's hard to know exactly what that means, because is it telling a person not to do them? Of course not. But the Alter Rebbe seems to say that they're mitla tali v'koy, meaning to say they remain in kind of a suspended animation, that your later tshuva can be mahapich and elevate all of those mitzvahs, but otherwise they just remain very dormant. So we'll talk about different levels of kavanah next week. Okay.